Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militanyena Tajmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadante Kam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Parakamalam Sri Guru Nrashtabham Cha Sri Rupam Sahagratam Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakavitam Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gope Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvare Rishabhanu Stuti Devi Pranamai Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tuyubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10, Text 45. We'll read it. Dharmo Bhagavadham Nam Cha Dharmo Bhagavatanam Cha Bhagavan Yena Gamyate Bhagavan Yena Gamyate Atyani Smin Samanantam Akyane Smin Samanyantam Akyane Smin Samanantam Adiyamikam Adiyamikam Aseshata Adiyamikam Aseshata Dharmo Bhagavatanam Cha Bhagavanina Gamyate Akyaneshmin Samandanam Adhyatmakam aseshata Adhyatmikam aseshata Dharmo Bhagavatanam cha Bhagavanyena gamyate Akyaneshmin samandantam Adhyatmikam aseshata Dharma, religious principles, Bhagavatanam, of the devotees, Cha, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yena, by which, Gamyate, one can understand, Akyane, in the narration, Asmin, this, Samanatam, is perfectly described. Adhyatmikam, transcendence. Aseshata, without reservations. Translation. The principles of religion by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Bhagavat Dharm. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. So we can please repeat. The principles of religion, by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are called Bhagavat Dharm. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Through the principles of religion, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, and Paramatma, the localized aspect of the Lord. When one is well conversant with these principles, he becomes a devotee and performs Bhagavat Dharm. Prahlad Maharaj, the spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession, advises that this Bhagavat Dharma be instructed to students from the very beginning of their education. Kamara acharet pragno dharman bhagavatam hita. To understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the real purpose of education. Shravanam kirtanam vishnor. One must simply hear about and describe Lord Vishnu and his various incarnations. This narration concerning Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev therefore has properly described spiritual transcendental subjects. Dharmo bhagavatanam cha bhagavanyena gamyate akyena smin samanantam atyikam aseshataha. The principles of religion by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Bhagavat Dharm. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. So, before I comment on this verse, I first of all would like to send my heartfelt thanks to all the devotees here in Vrindavan. We're going to be leaving this morning, but the last 2 weeks have been wonderful, and it's been an extraordinary demonstration of real Vaishnava principles and setting a wonderful example of what society can really be like within the limits of our temple. If we can take that and expand it out, it'd be wonderful. So I'd like to thank Ganapati and all the devotees who've been so nicely serving myself and all my God brothers and all of you, all the way from the prasadam to the pujaris to the temple management to the guest room and so forth. So thank you very much, and you're all wonderful devotees. So with that, before I actually speak, I would like to challenge the audience a little bit and ask the question, what is the purpose of this Hare Krishna movement? Can somebody tell me, what is the purpose of this Hare Krishna movement? And it's to be a very short one simple sentence.
To spread God consciousness in the whole society.
Okay, to spread God consciousness, that's true, but it's not the answer I'm looking for.
Going back to
Godhead? Getting yourself and other people to go back to Godhead. Okay, I'm looking for something very tangible here. To have kirtan?
To love
Krishna. To love Krishna. Okay, that's good. But I'm looking for very immediate emergency purpose of this movement.
To associate with devotees?
Spread the holy name?
Spread Sankirtan movement?
Become Krishna conscious? To help others understand who we are and to love Krishna? Something like that? Okay, these are all good, but I'm looking for, what is the immediate emergency purpose of this movement?
Purify our hearts.
That's there too. I didn't hear it. Say it again. Service. That's all there. To relieve ourselves from material misery. These are all good answers. To develop love for. But why? Why are we doing all these things? Okay. Maybe I'm going to have to give the answer. Huh? To achieve Krishna Prem. Okay. This is very interesting. The purpose of this movement is to restore the Brahminical head to society. Society has gone completely cuckoo crazy in the greater society, especially the world where I come from in the Western countries. Right? We know there's four aspects. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. We got a lot of Shudras. We got a lot of Vaishyas. In fact, the whole world is being run by Vaishyas. And we got a lot of Kshatriyas. And we all know that. The wars are going on all over the place. I don't know if they're real Kshatriyas, but we certainly have the first three. Prabhupada started this movement to find people who could actually become trained in the Brahminical qualities to teach what it means to become sane. And that's what this verse is all about. To understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead called Bhagavad Dharma. And it's saying here in this purport, it's saying, when one is conversant with all these principles, he becomes a devotee, performs Bhagavad Dharma. What is Bhagavad Dharma? Should we try that one? What is Bhagavad Dharma? I think everybody's afraid.
Principles of devotion
is the Supreme Personality. Got it. Again, this is a real simple, tangible, straightforward answer.
Eternal occupation of the living entity.
That's true. We like to say our tradition, the Hare Krishna movement. Of course, many people in the West, they just dismiss this as another religious organization. You know, oh, you're just another religion. But we should be when people say that. No, no, no. This is not just another religious organization. This is teaching Sanatan Dharma, the eternal occupation of the soul. And in one of the purports for Prabhupada, I'm sure we've all heard it, he likes to say, it is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It naturally comes. This Bhagavad Dharma naturally comes. It's what the soul is hankering. Lord Chaitanya says, this is the nectar for which we're hankering. We're going off doing all this other stuff. But we should be actually, all the things you all said, what this movement is all about, that's what we should be doing to build Bhagavad Dharma. So more specifically, everybody who's taken initiation, when you take initiation, we say we want to practice certain principles, right? No meat eating, no illicit sexual activities, no gambling, and no intoxications. So these are the foundation stones, the cornerstones to Bhagavad Dharma. And there's a reason for it. It's not just, you know, we just made up these rules. Prabhupada just decided, well, I think you should do these things. No, this is a science. This is a very serious science. So in the morning, when we have our prayers to Srila Prabhupada, we sing Samsara Dava Danalita Loka Taranaya Karya Naga Naganatam. We're singing to the spiritual master that we are currently embedded in this forest fire. It's a raging forest fire. And there's a whole chapter in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam called the forest fire of material enjoyment, which is an oxymoron, which is a big word which means it's contradictory. Generally speaking, unless you're roasting marshmallows or something, fires are not a very nice thing. Well, you can use it for cooking, but we had a big fire in California. It's the biggest fire that's ever been seen in Southern California since they've been keeping record. And when the whole hill is burning and everything around you is burning, it's not fun. It's actually very frightening. Jai Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Jai Radhe Shyam, Jai Jai Gaur Nitai. me a second here. So, this is our situation. We're in this material world, and the fire is raging all around us. In the sense that everything is happening is distracting us from all of the things that you had earlier said in terms of what this movement is all about. Our movement is to make Brahmins. Prabhupada made this point several places. Because society is currently headless. You can imagine what it's like. I mean, we can see the results of it. It's headless. So how do we actually teach these principles of Bhagavad Dharma? We have these principles. And you may notice, I don't know if this video can see it, but I'm going to put this up here for those of you who are attentive. I'm going to go over these principles, which can be found at this location if you're interested later. And it's also up here, the actual URL to find this. These four legs of Dharma, actually many years ago in Satyayuga, all four of them were present. And so everything worked very nicely. People were very honorable and knowledgeable and behaved properly in the Satyayuga. But eventually in Satyayuga, the first of the four legs of Dharma, so if we take these principles that Prabhupada asks us to keep, we can understand that the concept of taking intoxications destroys the ability to be austere. You know, there's actually a science here. You can see that. If people are taking alcohol or taking any form of intoxication, alcohol is usually a pretty good example, but there's some very, very serious intoxications in the Western world. Some of these chemical compounds that people are ingesting, it literally destroys their body. I mean, it's horrendous if you actually see people who are addicted to some of these narcotics. That's all they can do is stick a needle in their arm, and they do it every 4 or 5 hours, and that's their whole focus. So that's an extreme case, but the principle of austerity is broken when you take intoxications, and this was lost in Satyayuga. And austerity gives us the ability to be temperate, to be moderate, to be a little patient. Nowadays, a person cuts you off in line and immediately, what are you doing? We don't like that. But if you're a little austere, it's no big deal. India's good at this, you know, sit down and wait. Okay, wait, no problem. There's a little bit more patience in this country, I think. So, when there's patience, you have understanding, you have helpfulness, you have the willingness to take a little extra time to be a human being to another human being. These are the qualities that are there. But if they're destroyed, what do you get? You get all sorts of impatience. You get me first. You get people wanting to sue each other for the littlest problem. This is the Western world. Everybody's gone completely crazy in the legal department, suing everybody for the littlest violations. Nobody seems to be able to tolerate anything. Okay? And so what kills this? Like we said, drugs, alcohol, tea, coffee. Of course, tea and coffee are not necessarily as severe, but they do have an impact on us, and Prabhupada asks us to restrain from it. So we should try to keep that in mind. Because the result is otherwise everybody becomes obnoxious, really. It's just very self-centered. And it produces crime. And drugs proliferate. And it tends to feed itself. And when we violate these things, we're throwing more fuel on that fire. We want the fire to go down, then you have to stop putting fuel. Fire requires air, fuel, and heat. You take away one of those three, you no longer have fire. So if you don't want fire in the material world, take away the fuel. The fuel is breaking these principles. So this one was lost in Satyayuga, the principle of austerity, through the process of taking all sorts of intoxications. And of course, the material world, you know, they make these solutions. They try to come up with their own solution. Anything except for the real solution, right? Some of us have some familiarity with drug counseling. There's all sorts of things they do. They'll have seminars. They'll say mundane therapy, psychotherapy. They actually give drugs to help you get off of drugs. I don't know exactly how that works, but these are the kind of things that they're coming up with. And they try to make more laws about not creating frivolous law cases. These are all society without a head doing this. It's not going to work. As long as these four principles of Dharma are violated, it can't possibly get sane again. That's why it's so important. So that's lost in Satya Yuga. We'll move on to Treta Yuga, cleanliness. Cleanliness is destroyed by all sorts of illicit sexual activities. And we see the results of that in the world today. There's all sorts of problems, particularly in the West, and probably here in India. I don't see it. I'm not as aware of what's going on in India. I don't live here as much as all of you do. But certainly we know there's all sorts of very terrible sexual diseases because people are recklessly doing all sorts of things without any care, driven by the sense gratification desire, uncontrolled desires, not being aware of the consequences. So many people, I'm sure we all know people who've made tragic mistakes in their life simply because they're not aware of the consequences of what they're doing. This is certainly very obvious in the Western world, these reckless sexual activities, broken families, children who don't even know who their father is. And it's getting worse every day. So what do they recommend? They give seminars. They say, go to your church and confess on Sunday. You did something wrong. They give medications to try to control all the different diseases that are there. But it's so rampant, they can't even keep up with it. Then the diseases, I'm not a biologist, but I understand with biology, things that happen is biology morphs. And then the antibiotics become ineffective, and then they have to give more. We're actually poisoning our own society as a result of these violating these principles. And again, throwing more fuel on the burning forest fire of enjoyment. It's an oxymoron. It's not enjoyment. It's a forest fire. You don't walk into a forest fire to enjoy it. You run away in the other direction and you try to stop it. So we have a simple solution. Get married, have a nice relationship, and control these tendencies in a proper way, in a socially acceptable way. And don't, you know, Western world, in the last 50 years, it used to be when I was a young boy, divorce was still considered to be somewhat inappropriate. But that's all gone away now. People don't seem to care. So these things have to be corrected. These things have to be changed if we want to put out this forest fire. So that's what was lost in Treta Yuga. So now we've lost austerity, we've lost cleanliness, and we walk into Dwarpa Yuga, and the principle there is the concept of mercy. And we all know that in particularly the Western world, the situation with the lack of mercy is horrendous. Mercy is there in the sense it brings out the fortitude and the kinder qualities of the human being. And there's consequences to all of this as a result of the lack of mercy. It's horrible when you think about it. They've used their intelligence to figure out how to make, I don't even want to say it, it's not appropriate in the temple, but in order to slaughter literally thousands of animals at a rate of speed you can't even possibly conceive, if I were to give you some statistics, which I don't think is appropriate now. But we can understand all these fast food stores that you see, which unfortunately, I haven't been back to India for 38 years, and I did not see some of these fast food stores 38 years ago. But now when we went to Nandagram the other day, I'm looking out and I'm saying, oh my goodness, all these commercial stores which are producing commercial junk food, which is part of the additional part of the problem, are now coming to India to basically push their idea of what food is on the Indian people. And for the most part, all of it is not vegetarian. And people can't understand there is a consequence. Prabhupada made comments like, you're slaughtering so many cows, and then you complain because when he was here, it was the Vietnam War. 60,000 young men went to their death in Vietnam. And the American people were very, very upset. Why? Well, what are you having for lunch today? These are subtle laws. If you violate these laws, there will be consequences. And that's what the principles of Sanatana Dharma, that's what this concept that's being mentioned in this verse today, this concept of Bhagavat Dharma, that's what we're teaching. That's what our mission is, to create Brahmins, to teach these four legs of Bhagavat Dharma. Otherwise, society has no head. So this is the consequences of not understanding what happens. And so what we see, this violation of mercy, we see war, we see people becoming very impatient. You know, road rage is a big thing in the cities where there's a lot of traffic and stuff. There's so much pressure. People are under so much pressure. They're working so hard. They don't even know why they're working so hard. Prabhupada used to always say, working hard like a donkey. We see here so many examples. It's a little hard maybe for the Western people to visualize this, but certainly in India we see all the time the donkeys are walking with so much. And he says, they're all muda. They're working so hard to what? Put more fuel on the fire to create more difficulty. And then at some point, literally, those of you who are in the mental health industry understand, at some point they break down. They mentally break down. They can't cope, which drives them back to the drugs. It's a vicious circle, like that endless Morpheus loop they use, infinity. You're over here having a problem, you take drugs, okay, make you more anxious, make more difficult. More difficult, and you go to more difficult things. It's a vicious cycle. And our mission is to come in and cut that cycle out and smash it so that people will at least realize the consequences of what they're doing. So, and the very sad thing is, actually, if you can just slow down, I'm talking to the general society, I think most of us here have done this to a certain extent, but a general society, just slow down enough to hear what we're offering. And the thing is, this is not something that we're making up. Prabhupada didn't make this up. In fact, if I can get the computer to cooperate here a little bit, we'll try to, hold on, oops. There is actually these principles that I'm talking about is right there in the beginning of the hold on here. It's in the beginning of the Bhagavatam when Dharma the bull is being beaten, right? And Maharaj Prickett comes along. These first three legs have been broken. And he's saying, you know, what's the situation here? So we know in Kali Yuga comes along, and there is still a little bit of truthfulness. There's still a little bit of truthfulness. If you lose your purse or your wallet, it's kind of like a toss-up. Maybe you'll get it back. Maybe you won't. But I can tell you at the end of Kali Yuga, you won't get it back. Right now, there's still a little bit of this truthfulness. People want to do the right thing. But there's also a lot of cheating going on. And with the loss of truthfulness, there's actually been a total breakdown of our language. Right? I don't know how much this happens in India. I'm sure it happens on the internet everywhere. But when we see these words like commercial, the commercial industries are always throwing things like free trial, free trial, or free if you purchase all this other stuff. What does the word free mean anymore? Or you get, like I said, I don't know how many people in India get junk mail, but in the United States, junk mail is a very prominent thing. And you'll get a piece of mail that says, important, read now. And it's like, it's not important. It's a piece of junk mail, you know. Confidential. You won. And it looks, you know, you won. And then if you open it up, you'll see it says, if your number matches this number, then you won. This is all cheating. They're taking the language and they're confusing people. Unfortunately, sometimes people have to get burned once or twice to realize what's going on here. But they're taking the language. This is all forms of cheating. This is all forms of dishonesty. Manipulating what? The propensity for greed. Lust, anger, and greed. That's what all these principles are trying to control. Lust, anger, and greed. So in this case, they're cheating you with the lusty idea that I've won something for free. And Krishna says, of gamblers, I am the cheat. You want to cheat? Watch out. Krishna will cheat you. As we've been learning on this in this particular story of the Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu thought he was so smart, he was going to outsmart death itself. And he created all of these parameters. And he asked Lord Brahma, no, I don't want to die inside. I don't want to die outside during the day, during the night, whatever. By any animal, any beast, any human, any living, you know, creature. And of course, we all know that Lord Vishnu is, okay, you can try to beat me, but no, I am the cheater of all cheats. You're dead. I'm going to come as Hiranyakashipu, and that's the end of your little scam. Okay? So, this is what's happening in society. These things are being broken down. So I was going to read this verse from the Bhagavatam. In the age of Satya truthfulness, the four legs of Dharma, the bull, were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. It appears the three legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of intoxication, lust, pride. Sutta said, Maharaj Pariksit, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in the places where drinking, prostitution, animal slaughter, and gambling were performed. The personality of Kali asked for something more, and because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also intoxication, lust, envy, enmity, and falsity. So these four principles of religion, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, is what the Hare Krishna movement is trying to educate the world about. And to do that, we need a Brahminical class. We need Brahmins. And all of you are Brahmins in training. That is our mission, to become Brahmins in training. And to know this science. So that when people are having difficulties, you can actually help them. And Prabhupada said, one time somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, when is our mission over? When have we accomplished our goal? Does anybody know what he said? Does anybody remember what he said? When do we know we've actually accomplished? What's that? Yes. He said, when the judges have tilak on their forehead, then we can feel maybe we've actually succeeded. But we are a long, long, long way from that accomplishment. And of course, in the world today, especially in the Western world, when you start talking about church and state, separation of religion and state, or you start talking about merging them back together, all people just get infuriated because there's been such a terrible abuse of this. It's not an easy sell. It is a almost impossible sale to tell people, yes, we want the judges to be very religious people. Uh-uh. At least not in the United States. You're going to have a battle as soon as you say it. Because there's other faiths that are actually saying that, and unfortunately their traditions are not necessarily rational enough or philosophically sound enough to trust them to do that. But we have one extraordinary example of a high court judge who had tilak on his head. His name is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we all know he was an extraordinary man. And he set an extraordinary example. He was very fair and honest. The verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidyavanaya Sampane Brahmani Gaivi Hastini Sunikaiva Sapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. The high court judge, he sees equally the Brahmin, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. He sees that spiritual spark. That's what Bhaktivinoda did when he ruled, when he was a judge in Bengal, 100 years ago, whenever it was. And he was so dearly loved that when he resigned to actually take up this Bhagavad Dharma, because he understood, yeah, okay, that's fine, I did my judge work, but there's something more important, and that is to actually help do what this mission is all about. He actually surcharged this mission. Of course, yesterday we respected and honored Bhaktisiddhanta, his son, and this movement got surcharged, and we are now seeing some of the results of that. So that's what the Hare Krishna movement is about. That's what our focus is about. And we have that example. And when he wanted to retire, they didn't want him to retire. They really didn't want him to retire. Can you imagine? The public doesn't want a politician to retire. In the Western world, practically, as soon as they're elected, immediately everyone wants to throw them out, because they generally don't have a very good sense of how to do things. And it's very difficult. Anybody who thinks that being a politician nowadays is easy, then you're not paying attention to the reality of the problems in the world. The world is very, very problematic. We're not living in a Vedic culture. So we have to build it from the ground up. This is a grassroots movement where we're going every day. We're passing the books. We're talking to people. Some people are coming and chanting at the top of the samadhi. We're actually starting to plant those little seeds. Some of them will maybe go away. Some of them may not make it. But some of them will sprout. And over the course of time, we're seeing the movement is growing extraordinarily. It's very inspiring. Like I said, thank you all for setting such a nice example here in Vrindavan. What a wonderful place to set that example. That's my understanding of this purport. That's my understanding of what Prabhupada's sharing with us here. You cannot practice Bhagavad Dharma if you don't know what it is. And it's our duty to teach people this is what it means to live a civilized human life where you can actually make sense and stop, break this Morius curve. This is the sign of infinity. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. You have to break it. You have to cut it, slice it up. Stop the forest fire. Stop this samsara dava dananlita loka. The spiritual master is coming and giving us the ability and the tools to do it. So let us take it. And we're very fortunate. There's a very small group of people here. The majority of the world has no idea. And it's our duty to give it to them. It's our, any way we can figure out how to do it, it's our duty to do it. So we're coming up on 9 o'clock. I believe we're supposed to start end at around 9 o'clock. So if there's any questions or anybody would like to share comments or observations, now's a good time to do that. I don't think the microphones work. Somebody can help him? These microphones are problematic. There we go.
So, Kali was alone where there is gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because you explained that where there is gold, there is automatically there is all these enemies like lust, greed, envy, and all this. And so gold can be understood like money.
Any form of greed. Any form of greed. And greed takes on its own subtle natures. Sometimes we have the greedy desire to want to be, hey, look at me. I'm pretty cool. Right? It's a subtle form of, you know, I got my stuff together. Pride. Pride is a form of greed. It's a subtle form. That's why a devotee should always be humble in the mood of service. As soon as we start thinking like, hey, I deserve this. Yeah, that's where the problem starts sneaking in the back door. And the next thing, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And Chaitanya says you can't tell a king anything. He's the king. If he doesn't like it, send him to the dungeon. So we can become like that. If we think we're so powerful that nobody can share anything with us, then we have a real serious propensity to run down that road of, I'm not making any mistakes, nobody can tell me what to do. This is all a form of greed, in the sense that I'm the controller. It's a very serious problem. We always want to keep some venue open. Not necessarily with the bigger world, because you can't trust average, you know, anybody. But we should all have confidential friends. That's one of the six symptoms of love that Rupa Goswami is giving. What? Sharing gifts, taking gifts. Sharing prasadam, accepting prasadam. And revealing one's mind confidently, and also hearing another person's mind confidently. We all need people in our lives that we can do that with. Because then if we find ourselves, you know, they might say, hey, Prabhu, you know, you may be going a little bit too off the deep end here. You might want to pull back. We all have our own blind spots. The thing about blind spots is we don't see them. That's why they're called blind spots. We need people to, hey, that we can trust. They say, Prabhu, back off here a little bit. Look at what's happening. We all see blind spots in other people, and we see how those blind spots bring so much trouble down on their own head. This is one of my personal, you know, endless inquiries into life. We all know, and we probably shouldn't be talking, but we do. We talk about this Prabhu is doing these things, and he's creating so much trouble because he has a blind spot. So if we can open ourselves up to discover our own blind spots, because we're doing it too. We're having our own blind spots. We don't see it. And we're probably bringing all sorts of unnecessary problems down on our own head. And that's actually what the spiritual master is for. When you come to the spiritual master, you throw yourself on the ground. You say, I am a fool, a complete useless fool. I haven't got a clue as to what I'm doing. Please give me some instruction. Give me some guidance. Give me some direction. Let me serve you as best I can. And if we develop that attitude with alacrity, with sincerity, then these problems, the world opens up and we actually start resolving a lot of the difficulties that we would otherwise be bringing down on our own head. So yeah, I mean the illustration is there that lust, anger, and greed are embodied in gold because with gold, you can buy as much lust and anger and greed that you want. Or certainly lust. You can buy all. You can go out and wahoo, run, let your senses run completely crazy. Which is why most people are struggling or want to acquire a tremendous amount of wealth for some form of profit, adoration, distinction, or sense gratification. But our society is teaching just the opposite. We don't want... We're not interested in personal aggrandizement. We're interested in just simply becoming what? Dasa anudasa anudasa. The servant of the servant of the servant. Not look at me, look at me, look at me. That's the Western world. Look at me, look at me. Look at my big house. Look at my big job. Look at my big profession. How many places can I get my picture in the newspaper? And if I'm lucky, maybe I can get a TV show or something and blast my opinion all over the place, which is just another mundane opinion. And Prabhupada made it clear that without these four legs of religion, nothing is going to change. When they created, you know, there was World War II was there, ended somewhere in 1945, 46, something like this. The world was literally at war. Everybody was bombing and killing, and it was a mess. And so after World War II, I think it became so obvious that everybody went, wow. And of course, we had this nuclear weapon that just wasted out two of the biggest cities in Japan like that. Just almost in a flash of light, two, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, completely gone. And everybody went, what do we do? So the nations of the world came together and they created the United Nations in New York. And they put all these 50 flags from all these different countries from all over the world. And they said, you know, maybe we ought to try to learn how to talk to each other and cooperate. And we don't, you know, we got a real looming problem because if these nuclear bombs get out of control, woo. They came up with this term called mutually assured destruction, MAD. And people were frightened. So they came up with the United Nations. And Prabhupada said, that too will also fail. And, you know, United Nations has been there about, I think it was created in 1953. We're over 50, almost 60 years plus. Had there been any less wars? Has the United Nations actually been able to, you know, create the kind of mood that we want to see in international relations? I don't, you know, maybe you could make the argument that at least we haven't dropping any more nuclear bombs because it's so terrifying. So maybe in that sense we could give a little bit of credit. But the important point here is Prabhupada said that's all useless. Because as long as these four legs of Dharma are violated, these are the subtle laws of nature. I can take this top and I can throw it up in the air, and if I don't think it's going to come down, then I'm a fool. Because the law of gravity says it will come down. And we can take these four principles and we can say, we can do this and there won't be any kind of consequences. But the fact of the matter is, yes, there will be consequences. And the Western world has a real hard time understanding the relationship to these things. But if you take the time to think about it, and again, I've put up the URL here. It's also up on the board. I don't know if the TV screen can see it for our TV audience. If you want to see what I just went through today with a lot more interesting notes, it's right there. In fact, this is what it looks like. You can go get it on the internet. It's the four principles of Dharma. It's one of the charts I produce because this is a very important principle that everybody should see and understand. And you can get it here. And learn it and print it and share it with your friends and teach this Bhagavad Dharma to everybody. And let's put this mission, the Hare Krishna movement's mission, is to make Brahmins to teach this Bhagavad Dharma. That is our emergency first priority. To put a head back on society, which has not been there for a very, very long time. Anything else? Anybody else would like to make a comment? I think it's Prabhu.
You spoke about how in the first episode of Bhagavatam we have the image of the each leg of Dharma being removed.
Yes.
Secondly, broke. And then I think in another place of Bhagavatam there's also a scripture that they're all proportionately diminishing together. So I was wondering if you could explain how both these things.
Well, the way that I understand it, and again, if you look at the chart, it's broken down according to the different millenniums. And the first column is Satya Yuga. I started by saying that in Satya Yuga, the first thing that started diminishing was the concept of austerity. People started losing the... And therefore, the ritual, the principles, these great ceremonies that they used to have started falling apart. And then, of course, eventually... In the next millennium, in the Treta Yuga, cleanliness went away. It's explained. They break down over each millennium. And they're, if you understand the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga cycles, they're all increased by 128,000 years. So Kali Yuga is 128,000 years. Dwarpa Yuga is 240, 56, something like that. And then they keep increasing by 128,000 years. So it's not exactly proportional. But as each millennium goes by, these things get lost. So like I said, in Kali Yuga, there's still a little bit of truthfulness. Sometimes we're astonished when we find somebody's returned our wallet in the mail. It's like, oh, somebody found my wallet and they were honest enough to send it back. There's still a little bit of truthfulness. But for the most part, if you look at the food that people are eating, it's unfortunate. It's not the right place to have these conversations about what they're doing with the animals. But there's plenty of information on the internet. There's a lot of organizations that are finally starting to come to our side and say, we've got to start dealing with the fact that we're being incredibly cruel to not just cows, but to pigs, to birds, to ducks, all the animals. They're making these incredible machinery to just literally destroy these animals practically as fast as they can get them to grow. This is insanity. Because if we treat the animals like that, the next thing you know, we're treating each other like that. There's a lot of research that's leading in that direction. We become desensitized, is the word that's used. Oh yeah, just kill those animals. Yeah, just kill those people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't satisfy me. The world, it's all about me. So I don't think they've all degraded kind of like at the same time. They were lost over the generations of time. And like I said, right now there's some truthfulness, but at the end of Kali Yuga, no, don't expect it. And we're seeing even right now, I mean, Kali Yuga is advancing so quickly, it's frightening. It's really frightening. All the cheating on the internet. I mean, it's a huge industry to keep people from getting cheated on the internet. How many times do you get junk emails and letters from people in Ethiopia that have $10 million and they want to give it to you? And there's people who actually think that that's real. It's not real. And there's thousands of varieties of this sort of thing. Again, a degradation of integrity of your language. People are saying things intentionally to mislead you, to buy something, to make you think you'll be happy if you invest in this or you buy my product or whatever. The whole concept of gambling and cheating is there, and all the raffles and all the lotteries. The states are supporting lotteries in order to collect money to pay for schools and all sorts of things. It's completely insane. We're going to encourage gambling in order to pay for things because our mismanagement of the money is so serious, we need more money. And what are they using the money for? To subsidize the meat industry. It's a fact. In America, when you go to these fast food stores and you get whatever your product is for lunch, the reason why it's so comparatively inexpensive to buying fruit, now you can buy meat products cheaper than you can buy fruit. It's not because it's cheaper to produce, it's because the government is subsidizing it because of the politics of the people that are producing it. This is how insane our world has become. Which is why we need to put the head back on society. So, anyhow, I could rant and rave about this all day, but I think we have to stop. Would you like to ask a question?
Sixty-some-odd years.
Yes, very good observation. In fact, I just posted on Facebook a video of our procession through Nandagram. I guess it was 2 days ago. And I made that point that there were many people from our Russian friends, or Russian devotees. I can't even speak to them. And yet we can all walk and chant Hare Krishna together and sing the same prayers together and find commonality and bonding, even though we can't talk, which is probably a good thing because it would all be mundane prajalpa for the most part. You know?
China.
Huh? Even China. Yeah, this is the real United Nations. Absolutely. Thank you. That's a good point. The Hare Krishna movement is the real United Nations. And it's not because we're making some big policies and government decisions is because we're teaching Bhagavad Dharma. And when people understand that immediately, then all of these superficial identities of you're Russian, I'm American, you're China, you're big, you're small, I'm green, you're white, whatever it is. All that stuff, that we're not any of that stuff. We're pure spirit souls, all sparks and parcels of Krishna, and we're all here to reunite and try to understand our highest duty, which is to find whatever our particular service is to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we can all unite together on. Krishna is in the center, like a bullseye. Not like the world today, where everybody thinks they're the center, and it's just a mess. You can't have harmony when everybody's thinking they're the center. Anything else? Okay, Hare Krishna, all grace to Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.